Hello and welcome to Beyond the Words. My name is Dimple Thakra and I am going to take you on a frigging journey with this podcast. I have been called your guardian angel by many. This podcast is for you if you are interested in understanding the truth about humans and what we say is not always what we mean, and if you are ready to come out of the spiritual closet, you're in the right place. Enjoy. Hello and welcome back to Beyond the Words with me, Dimple Thakra. I am so frigging delighted to be introducing this most incredible human being. First of all, he gives the most heartfelt hugs on the frigging planet. You don't have to ask. You just feel his heart as he hugs you from his heart. This man I met at a dinner. I kid you not. I met at a dinner at the same table as Dr. Joe Dispenza. Never met the guy before. And there was just a connection. We just got chatting. I felt his sincerity. I felt his soul. It is my honor and privilege to introduce you all today to Kevin Santiago. Thank you, Kevin, so much for joining us today. Welcome, welcome. How are you?
My pleasure. I'm so excited to be here. So excited.
Yeah.
I was hoping you were going to say I was more magnetic and more interesting than Dr. Joe. That's what I was hoping you
would say. There is time. Let me tell you, you were extremely magnetic. I literally got out of my chair, walked all the way around the table and kneeled on the floor to have a conversation with you. That's how magnetic you are. Your energy just is that of, what I feel when I meet you, Kevin, is that I'm deeply taken care of. Even before you've spoken to me, you have this uniqueness of really letting people know that you see them, you feel them, and you've got them, right? It's beautiful. Yeah. That's, for me, that's the pull. That's the heart. It's just this huge heart. It's not just, it is this huge heart. Yeah. And you're cheeky with it as well, which is brilliant. So, what I'd love to start off with, Kevin, is for you to gift the audience a little bit about who you are and what your backstory is. You are so successful right now, but I want people to understand how you got to this place and what do you do now?
What I do now is I run a restaurant group. We have 8 individual restaurants here in Utah. And then we have 55 fast casual restaurants that are in Idaho, Utah, Nevada, Arizona, Colorado, Oklahoma.
55.
So, yeah, 55 of them. It's crazy to think where it goes. And it's all such a blessing. It comes from my gift of being a dreamer since I was a boy. I see these things. And I think I've shared with you, I had 2 stores at the time of the 55 when I did a Tony Robbins event. And I thought, oh gosh, I have the biggest vision in my brain. I'm just like, Tony can get people this to a peak state where you lock into your heart and who you are and what and your why. And I said, I'm going to do 50 stores. I'm going to open 50 of these. At the time I had another concept that we've since sold, which is a drink concept that had 25 locations. So I thought I was thinking really big. It's going to be double that. And within a year, we opened a number of stores. We opened 9 more stores. So we were at 11. And then me and my partner bought half of corporate. Literally within a year of that vision, we owned part of 50 stores. So it's one of those things where you say, it's not our responsibility to worry about the how in life, right? It's for Dr. Joe and others, it's source, for me, it's God. And there's a higher intelligence that knows way better how to do things than we can ever dream of. And it just takes us getting out of the way and pointing the direction and saying, this is what we're asking for. And as Eckhart Tolle says, then you stand up as that prayer is already answered. So I started my quest as a dreamer around the sport of basketball. I played basketball in college for Brigham Young University. It's a university here in Utah, about 30,000 students. And it was my dream as a little boy. And we would go to the Marriott Center where BYU plays. And as a boy, and I would sit in the stands, and while I was listening to patriotic things around July 4th, things or musical things that my mom would make me and my brothers go to just so we had some culture and not all sports. But I'd sit there and I would play college basketball in my brain. And I played on that court hundreds and hundreds of times. And so then as life went on, I played high school basketball. We won some state championships and I was all state. And I didn't get recruited, partly because I was right across the street. And as the good book says, a prophet's without honor in his own country. So I didn't get recruited. And so I decided that I would just walk on. I would just try out. And I tried out. But before I tried out, I sat down and I wrote, as you call it, writing in the sands of time. And I wasn't even on the team yet. And I wrote, I will start at guard for BYU by the 10th game of the season. And I crossed out 10th and I put 5. And I crossed out 5 and I put 3. Then I finally said, if I'm going to go for it, I'm going for it. I'm going to start by the very first game of the season. I hadn't made the team yet. And then I said, here's what it looks like. Here's what it feels like. And I just described in detail everything that I was willing to do. Making 1,000 shots a day, running, lifting weights. And so that dream came true. I started the first game. I was the first walk-on in the history of BYU sports to start its first game. And I started every game that we played. I had All-American teammates that have played in the NBA. I've had just so many great doors open to me because of that opportunity. But it all started with the dream, right? And I'm blessed with one of the greatest souls that's ever walked the planet as a father. He's a high school dropout from the Bronx in New York City, and he's a dreamer. He believes, and he taught us that whatever you can imagine and conceive, you can achieve. And he would always ask me, what are your circles? What are all the possibilities that you're working on? And so that's really how I got here. A lot of skin knees along the way is my ego and pride and trying to move matter by pushing matter and trying to go harder and faster and stronger, as opposed to living in my heart and my brain together in coherence. But no, that's who I am. I'm a giant dreamer. I have gigantic dreams and I love to make dreams come true for other people. So Wow. That's a little about who I am.
There's so many lessons in what you just shared, and I'd love to just pull some of those pieces out, right? For me, the first piece on that was dreaming. Dream state for me is almost, I talk often about parallel universes, railway tracks at the same time, right? And for me, dream state is, I feel like you were in another paradigm, just living that paradigm in the dream, right? So you just brought it to this paradigm, or should I say you jumped to that one, to the dream. So you lived the dream, right? So it was almost like a rehearsal. So that was the first piece. The second piece is the technology that you use to get you to the dream, right? The writing it down in the sands of time, as I say, I want to say lack of doubt, like this absolute confidence that of course it's going to be 55 restaurants, of course, like. And then the third lesson in this that I'm picking up on is releasing the how. Huge. Because one would have said to you at the beginning of that year, don't be stupid, Kevin. How the hell are you going to get to 55? You would have captured potential.
The how always gets in the way. But that's where we all start. What's the strategy? I don't know how to do it. I don't know what to do. And you start with the dream and the vision of this is what I really want. And then all of the ego, the worry, the self-doubt, the limiting beliefs, they start to show up, right? And then you start to wonder, who am I to think I could have 50 stores, or who am I to do this? And this is that, that's what I think. I talk to a lot of people in the community that you and I share an interest in, with going to Tony Robbins or Dr. Joe. And so many people that I talk with, I say, okay, share with me your vision, your compelling vision of the future. And they can't do it. And I say, well, what do you mean? Oh, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't. I'm like, no, just turn off. You don't know what it is. Just dream with me for a minute, right? Just, and I had this beautiful experience. A friend of ours from the community, she was teaching some of my managers Dr. Joe's program called NCS, which is his business program. And the exercise was crossing the river of change. And my managers had to write where they were. Then there was a kind of a drawing of a river down their half of their page. And on the other side, they were going to write their compelling visions of the future. And one of our managers just stared at it, and she couldn't write. And her left side was everything. This is where I'm at. This is what's wrong. Everything in my life. And then she was staring at the other side for 10 minutes. And then The instructor walked over and took the paper and folded it in half and put only the blank side up and said to my manager, none of the rest is real and it doesn't exist. You are right now the creator. You can write on this page whatever in the world you want to write down, with no judgment, with no tie to what's underneath what you just wrote. For the next 15 minutes, I watched this beautiful soul write her heart out of what it was, right? And it's that separation from everything that ties us to going forward. I've heard people, I think I first heard it from Sandguru, say, just all perception gone except for right now. Nothing else is there, just right now. What would you do, right? And wake up fresh every day. See Dimple for the first time in your life again, right now. See your wife or your husband right now for the very first time. See your employees for the first time. It's so beautiful because that's actually what you express about me. When I give someone a hug, when I meet them and I see them and I feel their soul, right? And I see them as a fellow traveler and as a fellow child of God with so much potential and unlimited, right? Like the miracle of our bodies and our souls and that we're together, like that magic, I just feel in that moment. It's just, oh my gosh, who are you? Tell me who you are. Where are you going? What are we doing? What's happening? And it's that joy for life that when I'm in that state, there's nothing more beautiful, right? Than the possibilities are endless. Source is so close. I feel so close to God. And you feel his love and you feel the love of other people. And nothing else really matters. And there's no other accomplishment, no amount of money, nothing that compares, right? To that love of God, right? It's just the love of our fellow beings. And when that happens, then that's when you realize you don't really need much of anything else. Everything else is your experiment with destiny. What do you want to create?
It's the game, it's the dream, it's the fun, right? And for me, that's the magnetic piece of you, that you are so open to seeing everybody as time travelers and dreamers. Right? You're so curious and this fun playfulness while embodied with love comes across. And that's what's so endearing. And so I love your wisdom, and you're obviously such a well-read person. I know over the time that we've been working together, the growth being your number one value. You're always, it inspires me. You always are seeking to learn, seeking to expand, seeking to grow. And while imparting your knowledge, you're so generous. It feels like an infinity of energy and information together.
I had this philosophy teacher in school and college, and he would draw on the board a circle. Just imagine a small circle, and he'd say, this is your concept of faith right now. And he would quote from the good book, Faith is the Moving cause of intelligence, movement, cause of action in all intelligent beings. Or he'd say, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right? In our vernacular today, because of Dr. Joe, we say it's clear intent and elevated emotion. It's stepping into that dream state and saying, we're going to see with eyes that beyond the physical world into the metaphysical world. And he goes, this is your definition. Now start to expand that. What's possible by faith? What does, and I don't apologize for it, it's my upbringing, right? The good book is a part of my soul, right? So it's like God created the earth through his son, Jesus Christ, who spoke and the world was. Okay, what about that definition of faith? What if my definition from my little circle, I could get my concept of faith to be that what I speak comes into reality. Now, if I start to understand that, then wow, right? What if I take, here's my concept of love. What if I couple on there Dr. Joe's concept of love and Tony Robbins' concept of love and Brene Brown's concept of love. And what if I can, what even more, what if I can listen to those things and wire new ideas and concepts in my brain? What if I can come to quiet and ask God or source, what's your concept, right? I'm just going to turn off and I want to be taught by you in that magical experience both of us shared in Vail, Colorado with 50 or 60 of our fellow seekers and meditating and Dr. Joe saying to us, all right, I just want you to do this for a few minutes. I want you to, before you go into your meditation, I want you to have a conversation with source. And I just want you to like, don't ask for any answers. Just tell source what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what, where you want to go. Just let it all out.
Intent.
And then we're going to, And then we're going to slow down our brain waves. We're going to get into trance and we're going to listen to the source of all truth, all wisdom, all love. How much more enlightened is that voice than any other voice we're going to have, right? So that's the quest. Like, how do we go as far as it's humanly possible to go in our search of truth and the exercise of that truth for our fellow men, right? That's the quest. That's my why, right? I want to see faith like God sees it. I want to see love like God sees it and feels it. I want to feel like abundance, like God sees it, right? As you look around and you say, I love how Bob Proctor says it. Everywhere in the world is abundance. Just look around. A seed turns into a tree, a flower. Like everywhere you look, there's abundance. And yet we just want to be scarce. So like, how do I get there? That's the enthusiasm for learning and growth that I just am so passionate about, because I realize that if I have eyes to see, I can see, right? The world's going to say, show me and I'll believe. But the good book and every enlightened soul ever says, believe and I'll show you, right? So it's getting to that place where you can say, I'm going to surrender everything that makes me feel secure and comfortable, and I'm going to step into the unknown. That's where real beauty and grace and it's scary sometimes, right? Because then you see the mirror. Sometimes you see the mirror
and it requires
it's like,
you to zoom. Yeah.
And then it's the grace of having friends and fellow travelers like you've been to me that can say, hey, have you thought of it like this? What about this? What about this? And that's when I so enjoy our conversation, because I share where I'm at and you think, have you ever looked at it like this? What have you ever tried to view that person with 100% compassion? Oh, yeah. What about that? Which just that one thing that you shared with me has changed my life in so many ways, right? To stop judging and just say, and stop making up stories and just say, I'm going to look at that soul with compassion.
Because that's the truth about God's ability to love. It's compassion. So the quest for having the expansiveness of love in the way God sourced, whichever word you want to use, that's really the foundation of it. When we can give compassion, even when those have hurt us or we've allowed them to hurt us, we can give that deep compassion, right? Because actually they're just a mirror. As we hurt, they hurt. As they hurt, we hurt. So what if we could give the compassion we desire? And so that's, for me, the true reflection of love. True reflection of love. And it's expansive, right? Because the minute that you switched that to compassion, you shifted everything about you. And as a result, your environment shifted.
Yeah. And if you take that concept of believe and I'll show you, be compassionate and you'll experience compassion. Be abundance, and you'll experience abundance. Not show me abundance and then I'll be an abundant person. Not show me love and then I'll be love.
Exactly.
Right? It's believe and I'll show, love and I'll love. Be compassionate and you'll see compassion. But you call it a mirror. That's a beautiful way to think of it, right? It's like the universe is this one giant mirror that reflects back to us who we are, right? And becoming is our quest, right? A little rough edge knocked off here, another one knocked off there. Yeah.
We all have them. That's the journey, is it not? I would love, Kevin, if you were open to sharing. Is there a moment in your life? Because what I want to ensure as well that the viewers, the audience understand that for both of us, it's not always been this philosophical. It's not always been this mind-blowing concepts of the cosmic and the universe and source and God. That this has actually been a journey of a lifetime for both of us. I would love, if you're open to it, to sharing the moment in your life where it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy for you to expand in this way. And some of the frustrations or some of the, yours isn't frustration. Remind me what yours is, Kevin.
Bitterness.
In the human, sorry?
Bitter. Being bitter.
In the human, bitterness. That's it, bitterness. So would you be open to taking through that?
Yeah, for sure. The even my story that I told about playing basketball in college, right? It looks like, here's a college athlete, captain of the basketball team. But I also was the recruit who no one recruited. I was also went through my junior year wondering, do I even belong here? Wow. I was a great shooter, but I averaged 3 shots a game. And I actually had this crazy moment in my own personal journey where I played small a little bit my junior year because I kept thinking, oh, I'm a walk-on. That's who I am. And at the end of the season, we got a new coach and the coach had us vote for captains. And my teammates voted me one of the captains. And I was like, what? They changed my definition of me because I was the underdog. I wasn't the leader, but they saw me as the leader. And they saw my passion and desire to win as the leader. I also like one of my difficult things in life has been that I trained myself from that underdog position to live in a survival mind of me versus you. Oh, that's how you want to play? Okay. All right. You're going to elbow me coming down the lane. Okay. I'm going to knock you on your butt next time you come, right? It's like a place of me versus you. And my teammates used to say, if we can piss Kevin off, there's no way we're going to lose, because I could go to that feeling of anger and angst and mono so fast. Right. But you know what? Outside of that arena, it's a terrible skill to have. Yeah. I've often said for 26 years, I trained myself to be like at odds, right? Motivate myself by having a chip on my shoulder to prove something, right? And it's like everything's a force, like the bitterness, the resentment, the anger. You use those things as these gigantic motivations to go, but they're not lasting. They're not lasting. And they're so damaging. Like, I've hurt people in my life because I was so competitive that I just wasn't kind. And I saw it was either me or them. And I chose me and I ruined business relationship. People that I care about and love, or it just didn't go right because it was a competition. It was blaming and all of those things. And learning to, it first happened with Tony Robbins at UPW. He asked us to all do one of his kind of like exercises where you move into beautiful state and then you promise yourself that you're going to live in that state. And then I started to look it up one day so I could learn it better. And that's when I found Dr. Joe. And I was like, oh, wow, this is how I move closer to God through love. And I knew these, I already knew it in my heart because I'd already memorized the verse in this, in the Bible that says the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, meekness, love unfeigned. I knew that verse by heart, right? But I didn't live it, right? I lived, not all the time. You can see my soul is not there, but I trained myself to come at it from a, and it caused problems. I lost a business over it because I was afraid to ask for help and I just was competitive. And so those are the struggles, right? And I think those are the struggles for every single person. And from our conversations, I still have moments where, you know, as I call it, doofus shows up and is my doubt and green light shows up, which is my, let's take the world. And I have to balance green light and doofus, right? And I have to say, okay, there's that duality in me. What am I going to do? How do I let doofus have its, okay, say that. Okay, that's fine. And then I love the way Dr. Joe says it. And it's true for every single person on this planet. Thoughts pass our brains and in our subconscious. And if we turn our brains on and say, yeah, I don't want that to pass by anymore. So I find myself often saying something and then go, that's not how I want to think anymore. I'm not going to be bitter or revengeful towards that person, even in my thoughts. Right. So those are the struggles, right? That business failure, I've had other things that didn't work, but you just keep swinging at it, keep refining yourself.
I love what you said though, Kevin. I want to really bring this home for people. Thank you for the illustration, because you can fuel motivation through bitterness for you, or for me, it's frustration, disappointment. You can fuel your whole life and be successful with it, but in the end, it destroys you and those around you. It's not a everlasting fuel, right? The difference is you can fuel with love. And when you fuel with love, it's everlasting and it grows and then expands, right? And everybody wins. And this is what I love about the examples that you've given today, is because I really want this to land for people that Kevin is a super successful human being on this planet. How we would define success in today's world, and nothing wrong with it. You are super successful. You have worked hard at where you are at now. And you have also done it through using bitterness to fuel, and latterly learning that is a fuel that just creates more harm than good, and actually being conscious about whether or not you're going to choose that or not. And it's still available to you. It's still an option every day. And every day you get to choose. Every day. Bitterness or love. Bitterness or love.
Right.
And this is what I want people to understand, that you get to choose. What is your shadow side and what is your light? For me, frustration, disappointment are my shadows, my go-tos. And I can sit and wallow in them for days, should I choose. What's harder is getting up and deciding that you're going to have one. Trust me, my husband knows I can sit there and wallow in it, swim in it. But you hit the nail on the head there. Conscious thought. I often say this thing called, if I have these thoughts and I catch them, I'll say, cancel, clear, delete. Cancel, clear, delete. I'm not having that one. No, thank you. Cancel, clear, delete. Universe, I'm just letting you know, that one is cancel, cleared, and deleted.
Yeah, I like that.
It's just not, right? Cancel, clear, delete.
Yeah.
Done. Oh, it has been an absolute gift having you on today. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us today. And I want to ask, if anybody wants to connect with you for business or wisdom or anything, where can they get hold of you?
The easiest way is you can do it through LinkedIn, but you can also do it through just email me directly at ksantiago101@gmail.com. So that's ksantiago101@gmail.com. Or you can find our restaurants at heirloomgroup.com.
Amazing. Thank you so much for today. It's been such a gift, so much wisdom, such a well-read man who is living and breathing his learnings and teachings. Thank you. And the final question that I ask everybody is, if you could give somebody one piece of advice that goes beyond the words, what would that be?
One piece of advice that goes beyond the words. The thing that came to mind is be the change you seek in the world, right? Just the things that we were talking about. We're a mirror. Mirror love, mirror compassion, mirror joy, mirror abundance. Become those things. Mentally rehearse them. Just become.
Wow. Wow.
That's as simple as I can say.
Be the change you seek in others. Yeah. So powerful, so profound. I felt it in my body. Be the mirror. Be the change you seek in others. So profound. Yeah. Evan, Santiago, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been an honor and privilege to have you. So grateful.
Thank you so much for having me. Love you so much.
Thank you. Love you too. And without further ado, viewers, listeners, it's my honor and privilege to have you with me today. I take this time that you spend with me as an honor and a privilege. Take care. God bless. Thank you so much for joining me in Beyond the Words. Remember, if you've loved this, don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave a review. And don't keep it a secret. Let your friends, family, auntie, uncle, brother, sister, all of them know about Beyond the Words. And remember, all the resources that I've talked about today are available to you in the show notes.